This morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 12 down through the remainder of the chapter. We never know when we come into the house of the Lord what we will face, what will be said, and we do not know who we are facing. Sometimes people are in a tragic time of their life, and we know nothing about it. Sometimes folks are in a good time. Most of the time we know that. Folks that come into the house of the Lord are saved. Some of them are lost. But I'm glad the Word of God is that message that touches us where we are. Someone says, do you preach a message to the lost or to the saved? I believe you just preach a message. I believe God will direct it to where it goes and where it needs. I don't think you need to try to pick out subjects because you know what's taking place or what's going on. You just preach the Word, and I have always found that it will take care of the task that's there to be taken care of. This morning, we're going to be dealing with a very serious question. And it's found within our text as we read it, and we'll try to make some comment. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happeneth unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing and unto a faithful Creator. I want us to look in verse number 17. The question there is asked, and this would be our title to the message, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What is the end of those that do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The first part of our text this morning we find is a very difficult passage for believers because it talks about suffering. It talks about undergoing difficulties. He tells us about reproaching and the fiery trial of our life. It tells us here that we are in those things to be happy. And that's very difficult when troubles come and when problems arise and the fiery trial and the fiery darts of the wicked one are shot at us. He tells us to not think it's just to us, but other folks have gone through that also. I dare say here this morning in this auditorium there are Every individual has undergone some type of discouragement in their life, some type of problem in their life. Sometimes we are, as I said a while ago, sometimes we are living in a state of tragedy in our own personal lives. But God can help us and God gives us deliverance. But there's a tragic thing here mentioned in this verse 17 and also verse 18. But verse 17, we find the question is, what shall the end of them be, of them that obey not the gospel of God? This morning, you and I, as believers, Most of us here, I'm sure, are saved. We understand the end of disbelief. We understand the end result of what happens to an individual when they disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Peter asks, what shall the end be of them that obey not? If God sends fiery trials upon His own people, what is the end of those that are not His people? If God sends struggles upon us, and sometimes He does. If God sends difficult times to us, and sometimes He does. And we find that the Scripture says here, and if the righteous scarcely be saved. If the righteous go through these things and they are scarcely saved, and saved yet so as by fire is given to us in another passage of Scripture. If that is difficult on us, what is the judgment of God going to be upon them that obey not the gospel? In the book of in the Old Testament, there is a passage, and I can't quote it exact, but it gives us a statement there that if the horsemen trouble you, what's the battle going to do? If the little things bother us, what are the big things going to do? If the insignificant things bring us down, then what are the significant things going to do to us? This morning, I want us to direct our thoughts concerning this question, what is the end of those that disobey? He asks us here, and He gives us that some are saved with difficulty. Sinners that go through the judgment of God one day will stand before the Lord. You and I this morning, the Scripture tells us that even as believers, we go through a fiery trial, and we go through the flaming fire, and we have the problems of life that come, and we have the difficulties that are before us. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angel in flaming fire, taking vengeance. You see, He's going to take vengeance upon this world in flaming fire on them that know not God, and here's the words, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, one passage is always helps the other passage. And the Bible says in verse number 9 there of 2 Thessalonians 1, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come and be glorified in His saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We find here that you and I that are believers, we're going to be admiring Him and we're going to be rejoicing in Him. But those that have rejected and disobeyed the gospel of God, there's a fiery judgment awaiting them. You remember Lot down in Sodom? I believe he was scarcely saved. That word scarcely means saved with difficulty. He was just saved yet so as by fire. We find that Lot lived in a world, and all of a sudden the world got in Lot, and he lived just like they did, and the problems of life, and he lost everything he had, but yet he was, the Bible calls him a righteous man. He was saved as by fire. Now Peter says here, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So there's really two questions here concerning the ungodly and the unrighteous. First of all is, what's their end? The second thing here is mentioned, where are they going to appear? Where are they going to be? What's going to happen to those that have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? For the time has come, as he says here, that the judgment must begin in the house of God, and we must come and to realize that messages after message must be directed to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, He and He alone. Consider here this morning the condemnation that is pictured. What shall the end be? That word end there is important. It shows us that there is an end of life. There is an end of rejection. There is an end of disobedience. There is an end of where we stand against God. There's coming a time, it says, and what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What is their end going to be? Well, the end of a person who is a Christ rejecter is given to us time and time again in the Word of God and the Scriptures over and over. Why? What shall his end be? Where shall he be? And the Bible talks about and tells us in Matthew chapter number 9 that hell is a very important place to be considered. Every individual this morning, we need to consider there is a place called hell. Just as we rejoice and we think about and we sung this morning with rejoicing in our heart, and I saw people wiping the tears from their face as we dream and think and sing about heaven. But just as real as heaven is, hell is just as real. What is the end of those that reject the gospel? The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell." I mean, the Lord deals with that subject very strongly here. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now, do we believe the words of the Lord, or do we believe the words of the psychologist today? Jesus said that there was a place called hell where the fire will never be quenched. Where the fire will never be ended or never be put out. And so he tells us, he says, "If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is better thee enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." That's the second time Jesus says shall never be quenched. "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." There's the third time. "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." 4 times in 5 verses, Jesus said the fire of hell is not quenched. The rich man, when he died, he went to hell, he lifted up his eyes, and he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water." He just wanted a drop or two of water that he might cool him. He said, "For I am tormented in this flame." Now, I take the words of Jesus literally. And I believe the man that lifted up his eyes in hell was a literal man. And he died without God. And we find the end of he that disobeyed the gospel of God. Where is he? Notice here in that verse it says, "Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Not only is there an end, but there's a where. It emphasizes the reality of the place. Where? It means there is a place. We talk about somebody, we talk with people and say, "Where are you going?" That means they're going to somewhere. They're going to a place. And so we find that the Scripture says here in our text verse that the ungodly, "Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Well, there's somewhere they're going to exist. There's somewhere they're going to live forever and forever. For the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But it tells us in eternal death and never ending. The Bible clearly teaches us of eternal death. And not just a ceasing to exist, as some people try to give us. But "where shall" certainly means there's a place that they're going. And a place that one day they shall appear without hope and without God. There's a "where" of heaven. Where are you going to die? Where are you going to go when you die? "Well, I'm going to heaven." Well, that's a place. And the Bible tells us that there are places that we find and that we go. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, "There shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth." We go to heaven. Where then shall they appear? Where then? The Bible says, David said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." The Scripture gives us that men that without God are vessels that have been fitted for destruction. You die in your sins and you cannot ever come back and make difference. You see, there's no second chance. There's a lot of people that think so. And the way they live, I'd want to also. I'd like to think, "Oh, I can live the way I want to live, do what I want to do, and there's another chance, there's another way. I don't have to do it now, I can do it later on. Somebody can pray me out or pay me out." But it's not that way. The Scripture says for to be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. and for the unbeliever to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the wicked. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. There was no in-between time there in that. Sometimes people are concerned with temporal things more than eternal. But it is the eternal that will matter. It's not the bank account that you have right now, but it's what you have in heaven. It's not how much you own here, but it's how much have you over there. It's not what you can obtain here in this life, but it's what you can obtain by faith in the life that is to come. The Scripture says, what shall the end be of them that obey not? You see, if God hates evil, and He does, He must deal with evil. Now, He does not hate mankind, but He hates the evil of mankind. He hates the sin of mankind. The end of that man that dies without God, without hope, is eternity without the Lord. He hasn't wanted him here, so why would he want him there? He hasn't lived for God here, why would he want to have him over on the other side of life? Oh yes, there's a good day coming for the child of God. There's a time that we will meet again. I'll meet you in the morning, as we sang a moment ago. And if we never meet on this side, thank God we can meet on that side. That's where we'll be, and that's what we'll be doing. But the other side of the coin, of those that believe not. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Well, their end will be one of certainly no happiness. The rich man lifted up his eyes, and the Bible says being in torment. I've heard preachers try to downplay those words. It does not make any difference. I've heard evangelists try to say, well, the fires of hell are not lit yet. They were in that day. And so when he went there, certainly there was no happiness. John Wesley made this statement, says, stick your finger in the flame, how does it feel? You cannot keep it there 1 second. Then think what it must be like to have the whole body in the flames of hell forever. Just try it. You can turn on your, if you have an electric stove, you can turn on the burner on your stove. You cannot keep your hand on that burner very long. If you have a gas stove that flames up, you put your finger, you're not going to keep it there very long. Because the pain is so immense and so strong. I think one of the hardest ways to have an accident would be to be burned. And to have that happen, I know some folks, and I have some folks even in my own family that were burned very badly. Almost to the point that they don't even look like the same person. But can you imagine what it would be like forever and forever and forever? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? There's no happiness there. There's no hope there. For when men are once in hell, there's no escaping. There's no in-between ground. There's no hoping to get out of it. Oh, they may stand before God one day at judgment and say, Lord, did we not do all these religious things? And He'll say, I never knew you. So there's no second chance. There's no afterlife occurrences. Now we hear about that all the time, but find it in the book. I'm amazed at how many times that people that call themselves Christians let tradition dictate what they believe, when this is what we should believe. So there's no happiness there. There's no hope there. Father Abraham told this rich man in hell, says, beside all of this, there's a great gulf fixed. You can't come to where I am, and I can't come to where you are. He said, oh, but send Lazarus. He said, can't do that. Because what he did in his life determined where he spends eternity. And what we do with Jesus Christ in our life will determine where we spend eternity. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm not talking about what everybody says. I'm talking about what the Bible says. What we do with the Lord will determine where we spend our eternity. There is no exit door from hell. Only an entrance door. The end of that one without God, there's no happiness, there's no hope, and there is no help. Now this man, when he died and went to hell in Luke 16, all of a sudden he became interested in prayer. He cried out, "Oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus." You see, but he prayed in the wrong place. I dare say there's many prayers going up from hell even at this hour. It's the wrong place. Not only did he pray in the wrong place, this man prayed to the wrong person, Abraham. And he prayed in the wrong period of time. Only time we can pray and never get anything from God is while we're living and breathing on this side of God's green earth. Secondly, let's consider the company. What shall the end be of them? That's a plural word. That means there's more than one. That means there's a multitude that have obeyed not the gospel of God. Who are these people? Who are these folks that Peter is talking about? Who is this group that's called them? You know, sometimes we talk to people and they try to prove something. Well, they said, we don't never know who they is. But this book here tells us who them are. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Here are people that are unyielding, and they're in hell. They obeyed not. Those who refused to be persuaded, they were stubborn in their own heart. They were unyielding in rejecting the gospel. They may have heard and heard and heard, but yet they rejected and said no to an everlasting loving God. You know, it's not enough just to hear the gospel, but you must obey the gospel. Why? I'm sure the rich young ruler, he had heard. He said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, says, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross, follow me." And he was sad at that saying. He heard it, but he did not obey it. He did not obey it, the Bible says, because he had much goods. King Agrippa made this statement to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He heard the gospel, but he did not obey the gospel. We can hear and we can hear and we can be confronted with it and we can be even under conviction with it, but until we obey the gospel, it does not make a difference in our eternity. You can hear the gospel all your life and die and go to hell from a church pew, because church don't take you to heaven. The Baptist church or any other church you want to put a denomination or an adjective about, that is not what takes us to heaven. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the burial, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that is the message that we are to preach, and that is what brings people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sinners and we need God. People unyielding. There are those that have been raised in a Christian home, but yet they still do not yield to the gospel. There are those that go to a good church, and yet they die without God. There are those that the Holy Spirit has convicted their heart, and they continually say no. That's them that obey not the gospel. Unyielding, refusing to obey. Peter says not only that, but they're ungodly. The Scripture says, "Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly. That's what it was made for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers and manslayer. Here's them that are rejecting the gospel. It's those that are ungodly and those that are sinners. That's who Jesus died for. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Oh, what a company of people that will be in hell. 1 Timothy goes on. Doesn't just talk about the profane and the ungodly and the sinner and the unholy. Murderers, manslayers, whoremongers. For them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, those are folks that are dying and going to hell. Paul said, if I don't cover it all, those that just do not follow. What a company. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The unrighteous. The word sinner means one who misses the mark. One who fails to reach the standard. We've all come short of the glory of God. We shoot at it. We try, but the arrow just doesn't make it. We don't have the power. We don't have the will. We don't have the way to make the mark or to reach the standard. The only one that has ever done that is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Baptized? Not asking who baptized him. Asking, are you saved? Well, I thought if your name was on a church roll and I thought if you did all these good things, you'd go to heaven. No. Peter says it's the gospel of God. Well, I thought if you did all these things, it was so good. Well, there's none good. No, not one. You see, the Bible has an answer to all of our requests. It has an answer to all of our what ifs. The only thing that can transform a sinner into a saint is the gospel of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm going to give the gospel. And Paul's life was dedicated to the gospel of God. And Peter says, what shall the end be of those that believe not or obey not the gospel of God? The cure is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. It is an effectual gospel, but it has an effect on you. It works. There's no doubt about it because it is the gospel. It's the power of God. It's the dynamite power of God to move our wicked, unyielding, unrighteous, ungodly souls toward Him. It is the power of God. It's not man's idea. It's not man's innovation. It is God's gospel, planned by God and preached by man. It is effectual because it is supreme. It is greater than all. It is that which is above everything and everyone. It is the gospel. So you and I this morning, we need to understand that Paul was no fool when he gave us these thoughts about the gospel. He tells us that it is the effectual calling of God upon our life. Man has an intellect. Man has a ability to reason, but it is God that wakes that to spiritual things. It is God that brings us to a understanding that it is not philosophy, it is not religion, but it is the gospel. It's not what we think, it's not what some other person thinks, it's not what some preacher thinks or anybody with some high standard of thought. It's not what they think, it's what the book says. It's what Jesus says, it's what the gospel says. It is supreme above all others, and thank God it is sufficient. It's not only effectual, but it is sufficient. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is it here? What shall be the end of them that obey not? Believe not. But to everyone that believeth, what is it? Power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that grips our mind, the preaching. It will stab our conscience and make us realize that we're sinners. It is the gospel that will warm our heart. It is the gospel that will save and sanctify and satisfy our souls. It is the power of God unto salvation. It doesn't matter how hard the heart is and how far away an individual may be, the gospel can soften that individual. We go to somebody's house and say, this fellow, he will never be saved. Oh, but if the gospel gets a hold of him, he will. It's the effectual working of God on the individual's heart. But it is conditional. They obey not. That means there's a condition. Indeed, the cure is effectual and it will meet all the conditions. But what is the condition? Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us to a hope and a knowledge. Verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit. Interesting word there. Let him commit. It's a banking term that means to deposit for safekeeping. Oh, thank God you can give him to the Lord and he'll take care of it. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. If he made me the first time, bless your heart, he can remake me the second time. He's a faithful Creator. Give your life to the Lord. Obey the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He is calling. As I said at the very onset of the message, we know not when people come into a building. We don't know who we're facing or what we're facing. But I'm glad the gospel can take care of every need. If you're here this morning and you're saved and know you're saved, thank God you have committed your life. You've deposited for safekeeping with the Lord. And He can handle it. He can take care of it. If you're here this morning, you've never experienced this thing we've been talking about of salvation, I'm glad you can. I'm glad it's available. I'm glad it's always whosoever will. He can make you willing. And if you don't, but if you don't, you know now the end of them that obey not the gospel. It's not a good end, but it's a long, long end. Never ending. May God help us this morning to know the gospel. Really and truly, I believe that Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is what it's all about. Trust Him and Him alone. And that'll take us to heaven. But if we don't, the end of that is not good. The end of that is not for mankind. For the Scripture tells us that hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for man. But man in his rejection turned the back upon God. And God being a holy and a righteous God, He judges men for sin. What is the end of those that obey not the gospel? Where will they be? Who are they? Who is that them? It's all those that reject. Well, I don't reject. I've never rejected. Oh, but you must accept Him. Well, I've heard the message and I believe the message, but you must accept Him. He is the one that cleanses our heart from sin. He is the one that makes us a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new, all because of Him. Let's stand together this morning.